Hello, I am Mariam Jam, founder of I Am The Code. Welcome to the I Am The Code podcast. Thank you so much for listening and sharing the podcast. The Reinventing Your series continues with fantastic human beings who are showing up in changing their communities, investing in women and girls, and listening to organizations like us. I am so proud of what I Am The Code is doing. Our mission is to get 1 million women and girls to learn how to code by the year 2030. The work you're doing, everything you're supporting us with, is creating an impact. So thank you. In this week's episode, I'm deeply honored to be joined by Ebony Beckwith. She's the Chief Philanthropy Officer at Salesforce, a powerful woman, a powerful voice in the Silicon Valley, and above all, a beautiful woman. I had an amazing time talking to her about her career and upbringing, and the stuff she's doing to change communities across the United States. I came across Ebony last year when she was introduced to us by a common friend. Since then, she became a great supporter of I Am The Code growth. And we're very, very proud to have her join us today on this podcast. I'm a great admirer of her leadership, her empathy, and compassion. We talked about the power of mentoring, giving, and supporting communities that are right now in need, especially in the tech sector. I really hope you'll enjoy my conversation with Ebony, because I really did. I learned a lot from her. And see you on the other side. Ebony, welcome to the I Am The Code podcast.
Thank you for having me.
We are so honored to have you.
It's such a pleasure to be here with you and to be recording for the girls. Hello, everyone. How are you? I hope you're doing well.
Before we start, I always say to my guests why we invited them on the podcast. And I've got two things that I always say about my guests, because very special people. The first thing is, when we got connected by a dear friend of us, Rebecca Enchong, you really took leadership and you gave us licenses at I Am The Code. That really has helped us so much. And I really appreciated that leadership and that kindness from you as the Chief Philanthropy Officer at Salesforce. And the second thing is, I just admire your work as a Black woman. The things you do, I always watch the work you do across the world. And I just want to share to the girls that it's hard for them right now in Kakuma refugee camp in favelas of Brazil, but they will overcome. So thank you so much for being part of our podcast.
Oh, thank you for those kind words.
So where are you now?
Well, right now, right now, I'm at home in Oakland, California, which is right outside of San Francisco. I'm in one, I have one little space that I work from now, similar to most people. I'm just working remotely and trying to hang in there every day.
Absolutely. And where was the last event you did before the pandemic?
Oh, wow. I have to search back. Well, let's see. Before the pandemic, yeah, I visited some of our nonprofit organizations in London, Paris, and Dublin. I did a little week-long tour. It was so much fun because I had never met some of these people in person before, and we were able to see their offices and experience local culture. And I cannot wait until the next time I'm able to travel again and meet people.
Absolutely. You are a people person.
I definitely am.
So can we talk about your youth? I was reading that when you were 12 years old, you know, we have young girls in Kakuma who are 12 years old. They're refugees from South Sudan, Somali, Burundi, Kinshasa. So they suffered war in their countries. They had war zone countries. So you wanted to become a boss. Can you share that with the girls?
Sure. I actually just recently, something no one knows yet, so I'll share this with you. During the pandemic, I wrote a book called I'll Be the Boss Someday. And it talks about my experience being kind of growing up and my desire to be a boss. So I'll tell you a little bit about myself. So I'm actually an only child. Mm-hmm. I'm the only niece, only grandchild. And so, you know, it was a very kind of lonely growing up. I was born and raised in San Francisco, and I have a deep affinity for the Bay Area and giving back to, you know, my local community. But I used to take, I went to school pretty far from my house, and then my mom was a single parent. And so I had to take the bus down to her downtown office, and everything was really far, especially for being a little girl. But what I remember most was that when I would take the bus from my school to my mom's office, which is probably about a 35 to 45 minute bus journey, which when you're young seems like a long time. Now it's not that long. But I would go into downtown San Francisco. And if you've ever been to downtown San Francisco or seen pictures of downtown San Francisco, there's a lot of skyscrapers and being a little person and just the perspective with all the, you know, building and office lights being on and the traffic lights. And I just loved it. I love seeing older people in their business attire. And back then, men and women used to carry briefcases and they would be dressed up in suits and skirts and high heels. And I was like, one day I'm going to be the boss. I'm going to be down here. I'm going to be with my little suits and my high heels and my briefcase, and I'm going to conduct some business. So I wrote a book about that. It's a little children's book for just encouraging young people to, you know, to follow their dreams and to set big goals.
That's amazing. I mean, that's really amazing. So you visualize really that you're going to become a boss. Visualization is really amazing, isn't it?
Oh, I think it's key. Very key. Setting goals, visualizing. You have to see yourself there before you get there.
I really hope the girls can see the book one day.
I'm working on getting it published. I'll make sure to send some to them.
You're also often named as one of the, you know, some of the most powerful, women in the Bay Area. How does it make you feel?
Oh, it's an honor every single time. And I'm really just grateful. I get filled with a lot of gratitude. You know, there's so many people, who should and could be on that list. And just to be named one of them is definitely a privilege. But, you know, kind of going back to what you said before, I'm very goal oriented and I work really hard to reach those goals. So it's a really special feeling when that hard work gets recognized. But really, for me, it's not the recognition that's important. It's the work in itself is the reward. And then, you know, if accolades come, that's fine. But, you know, I don't remember, you know, I remember the hard work and I remember the reaching the goal. I remember the people that I work with. That's what makes it special.
Before we do the podcast, we do a lot of research on, because we want the people we have on the podcast to become role models for our girls. And But I can tell you, every single person I ask about Ebony is, oh, she's amazing. Oh, she's great. you have an amazing reputation, honestly. You have an amazing reputation of being passionate, personable. Really, I mean, like the entire sales force, they love you. I ask so many people. I was also watching a video of yours where you said, who you are matters to others. Well, that was really amazing to hear because you really understand your position in society. And can you just expand on that? Because that's a lovely quote that our girls are looking up to.
Yeah, definitely who you are matters. I think that what it means is for me is that there's always someone coming up behind you who's watching you do what you do. They're trying to learn and to create and chart their own path. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's probably the number one question I get asked by my mentees and people I meet. How did you get to be where you are? And people want to know exactly how I did it. You know. And so for me, it's about leading with my values. And I want young people to see that they can be both a leader and someone who acts with integrity, grace, and humility. It's really important, you know, and I think going back to who you are matters to others looking up to you. And the last question you asked about, you know, these powerful women on these lists, I love seeing powerful people and, you know, having powerful women leaders on the list. It's something I wish I saw more of when I was growing up, but it makes me happy to know that young girls have so many wonderful examples of powerful women around them. But I also think about the people who aren't on the list, but are on like the recognized list, but are on our personal list. Like for me, my mom and my aunties and all the people in my career who I looked up to and who supported me. And those I think are really the real heroes that don't often get enough credit for the role they play in helping create successful women. So, you know, there was my mom who I looked up to. She mattered to me. What she did, her example mattered. You know, the other, you know, female executives when I was growing up, there were only one or two of them, but, you know, it mattered for me to see them because I could then again, visualize myself being one of them. My mom always had high heels on. I remember even in the house, she would wear high heels. I love the high heels, but it comes from my mom. Right. And so it's like, We are sometimes like a creation, a byproduct of our parents and our families, right? And so,
you know, so one of the thing I also noticed that you're really championing women, especially girls. Why do you do this? You know, you being a single child, you are in a very amazing position you are. Why do you care about young girls?
Mm-hmm. Well, someone once told me, actually someone recently told me, the difference between a coach, a mentor, and a sponsor. He said, a coach yells at you, a mentor listens, and a sponsor is willing to do something for you. They'll advocate for you. And for me, a champion lies somewhere in the mix of all of that. And I like to provide what I think that the person needs in the moment. And sometimes listening, sometimes that's advocating, being a biggest fan and cheerleader, really helping them. I'm not a big yeller, so definitely not the yelling part. But I've been so grateful. For me, it's so important, and why I want to champion other women is because I've had so many incredible mentors and champions in my career. And this is my way of paying it forward to young women, you know, passing on what I've been so generously given.
You know, what was the most challenging thing you had to overcome as a young woman? One of the things I said to the girls, don't see someone just like that thinking they had it all easy. They had to work so hard to be where they are. So what was the one challenging thing you had as a young woman growing up?
Gosh, there were so many. it's not easy. You know, it's not easy growing up. It's not always in a straight and narrow path. But I can say one challenge I had in the beginning was being the only woman in the room, whether that be in the classroom or my college or my meeting at work. Added to that, being a young woman of color in a very male-dominated world was tough. But you know, it's interesting. I think it's really helped me build character, and I love a good challenge. So, and I often feel like a lot of times people underestimate me, but I turn that into an opportunity. And that's where I really get to dig in and get motivated to do something and prove them all wrong, because people don't look at people like me, people like some of the girls, and expect them to succeed. They expect us to, you know, get pregnant early or leave school or not be the boss or, you know, all those things. Those were the things that I thought of when I remember being in middle school and graduating from that middle school and going into high school thinking, I'm not going to be that girl that they think I'm going to be. I'm going to be different. I'm going to come back and I want to be successful. Again, going back to that boss. Like, I really wanted to prove them wrong because, you know, the girls in my neighborhood sometimes, you know, didn't have, you know, the best circumstances. And so for me, I think also another challenge is I suffered from a lot of imposter syndrome, feeling a lot of self-doubt in the beginning about my talents and my accomplishments. And it's really something I've had to learn to overcome. And it can still creep in from time to time. But now I have, because I've talked about it a lot, and I've talked about it with my mentors and my sponsors and my champions, I have the tools to squash it. And I know that it's just my fear talking, and I can't let my life be ruled by fear. And I've also had to learn how to use my voice. You know, I think as women, sometimes we have the tendency to apologize before speaking up or asking for what we want. And so I have to remind myself that I don't need to apologize. I have a right to be in the room. I have a right to my ambitions, and I'm going to go for it.
I think you're absolutely right. And this is going to be so helpful to the girls, because some of them are, you know, they have stigma. They're refugees. Mm-hmm. They're in a camp, you know, over 200,000 people live in the camp, and the girls are, you know, they really suffer. But one thing I've noticed on the girls, they have power. The way they speak, nobody will stop them. I mean, like, seriously, if you see them speaking, it's like, oh my God,
you know, that's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, so you have to come with us in Kakuma. You have to come with
us. I will. I would love to.
Please come and see us. So what is gender equality for you then? Why does it matter?
Again, what we see around us, whether it's in media, on stage, in boardroom, wherever we are, it shapes how we see the world and can impact what we believe is possible for ourselves. So I used to feel like it was a burden to be the only woman in the room or the only person of color in the room. And now I view it really as a privilege, because when I walk into a room, Mariam, I can guarantee you there is not another Ebony. There is never another Ebony. And for your girls listening, there is not going to be another you in the rooms that you step into, which is great. And it gives me a lot of strength. I used to shrink and be like, oh my gosh, I'm the only one. And now I'm like, hey, I'm the only one. No one is going to forget my name, right?
No one
is going to forget your name either. So for me, gender equality really matters to me. And I really want to figure it out and share it with others, because these aren't secrets. but just not everybody has the access to a network with people who can share these experiences with them. So it's really important for me to share my experiences and pass on what I've learned to other young women.
I definitely know that when you walk in the room, you are representing. I know that. I mean, I'm not in the room with you, but with everything I've been told, I know. That's why we love you. That's why we adore you so much. Like, I mean, we have to have this woman in the room for the girls.
Thank you.
You know, our girls also get discriminated. You know, they're refugees. They get discriminated even within the camp. So why do you think we need more empathy and kindness? I know you're very kind as well, not just because, you know, you have this amazing position you are, right? But you are a very kind person, I've been told. And I can see it now.
Well, I think we can never have enough empathy and kindness, right? Never. Those are the two things that never get old. They never go out of style. No one ever gets tired of, having kindness extended to them. So when I think about also my own core values and how I want to show up as a woman, as a leader, just as a person in the world, I think empathy and kindness are at the top of my list. And I've even found at times when others might not show me kindness, that I expect or I deserve, it's just really staying true to my values and continuing to show others kindness has always been the best solution, because oftentimes it's really not about the other person. Mm-hmm. You know, I hear the saying, it says hurt people. It's really about those interactions and how those interactions make me feel. And I don't want to be someone who hurts other people. So it doesn't make me feel good about myself to not be kind or to not be empathetic. And so that's what I have to care about, is how I feel on the inside every day, because I want to feel good when I put my head on the pillow at night. And so, especially I think right now, as the world is in a really, really fragile place, we need to offer ourselves and others the space and grace to navigate through these challenging times. And I hope your girls can continue to do that and put their heads up high, regardless of what they're facing, knowing that they have good values and morals and ethics and standards. Those things will make them feel good. And no one can take those things away from you.
Most of our girls, we have now over nearly 20,000 of them worldwide in 68 countries. And they live in very, very poor conditions. The opportunities are limited. The situation is very, very, very tough. And when I was looking at the work you do, you really care. It's not just you, but you care about the community services and the civil society, but also, you know, you care about philanthropy and how to make the world better. What is philanthropy for you, and how can philanthropy help all of these young women and girls across the world who are suffering today?
That's a really good question. Well, I think in order to create an equitable future for everyone, for this next generation of women coming up, for the girls listening, we have to change the systems that got us here for everyone, not just for a limited few, but for everyone. And that's why at Salesforce, where I work, our philanthropic mission is to equip all young people with the skills and the opportunity they need to reach their full potential. And our focus is really on education and workforce development initiatives that help close the opportunity gap, you know, because a lot of times it's lacking access to those opportunities, not having the tools and resources. It's not that we don't have the desire or the will to do it, but we need to be empowered and given those tools and resources so we can thrive. I think that philanthropy is really a part of the solution. It's not just philanthropy alone. I like to say it's dollars plus action. It's heart and action. Mm-hmm. It's writing the check plus opening a door, right? That's why, you know, for us, we don't just like to write checks. We like to get involved with our grantees. That's why when my last trip was to see the nonprofit organizations, I would love to come see the girls and to be with them and to understand what their challenges are so that we can help provide the right resources at the right time for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. And I think just everyone has a role to play in this work. And I know we really hope to inspire other business leaders to get involved so that we can make that generational shift for the ones coming up behind us.
You know, I had a very difficult childhood as a young girl growing up in Senegal. And I didn't go to school. So all my passion about I Am the Code and helping young girls across the world is actually to change systems, as you said, to make sure that people make a difference. And one of the things I'm really proud of about you is you, understand philanthropy. You know, I was searching today, what is philanthropy? But it's giving loving humanity. You know, it's not just writing the checks, as you said. And it's so important we help these people. There's so many young girls and boys who, during this COVID-19, don't have access to computers, access to content. And so I love the project you've been doing. I've been liking your LinkedIn post quite a lot.
Oh, thank you.
I've been loving them.
Thank you.
I've been loving them, you know, and I've been sharing them on Twitter as well. So it's really fascinating.
Thanks.
I am the code. Mission is to teach 1 million women and girls coders. And we are aligned with the United Nations. So, and mm-hmm. we're both now working on the reskilling platform for the World Economic Forum. You know, why do you think it's important for us to reskill all these young girls and boys who will not have a job maybe in the next 10 years?
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's like the future of work is changing so rapidly. And you know, I think people need to learn how to, one, learn how to learn so that you can keep up with the rapid pace, right? So we need to offer them the skills right now to get a job and to stay competitive, but we also need to teach the skills that will allow them to stay competitive in the future. You know, the jobs that exist today may not even be here tomorrow. So how do you equip yourself with the tools and the skills you need to stay competitive? And you know, and a lot of these skills can be done, they don't need to be done in a classroom. They can be done, you know, in groups. Like I love your mission because, you know, you can do it from anywhere. Right. And it's like, and you just need to be given that opportunity. So I think reskilling is so important, skilling and reskilling. I mean, I still continue to learn. Salesforce has a platform called Trailhead. And during the pandemic, since I had so many hours,
I love Trailhead, by the way.
I do too. I became a Trailhead Ranger. I wanted to learn new things and I got my Ranger badge and it was something that I wanted to accomplish. So there are things that people can be doing to continue to learn and grow their skills and be competitive, regardless of where they are. And I think it's just so important to have that learner's mindset. I love learning. And that's, again, not something no one can take away from you. I can learn whatever I want, you know, whenever I want.
Absolutely. You are right. We are now trying to actually use the Trailhead for the girls and then Coursera, because we are part of the reskilling platform with Salesforce.
Coursera is so great too.
Yeah. We're trying to give them some courses because they just don't have money. They don't have opportunities to do anything. So we're giving this for free. And now they're going to the Salesforce Trailhead as well. We're going to try to put some content on there. They can learn about the SDGs. They're very, very good, but they just don't have any opportunities. You know, it's very, very tough for them right now. So we're trying to include mentoring, as you said.
Yes.
Mentoring as well. So how do you think mentoring could be measured right now? You know, how can we measure mentoring, especially with COVID-19?
How can we measure mentoring? Well, at Salesforce, we measure mentoring kind of the same thing, same way we do everything else, right? We set a goal and then we track it, right? What you measure matters and what you track, you know, you'll do. And so for us, it's really interesting. Mentoring for our Salesforce employees is one of our most sought after activities. Our employees love to mentor. It's so nice to give back to people. So I want to recommend to the girls, you know, when people say like to network and to get a mentor, really take it seriously and ask for what you need, ask for what you want, you know, because it's such a good way to meet people and to have doors open for you because your mentor has gone before you. So that's what we like to do. We measure the number of hours that we do mentoring, the types of mentoring projects that have the most impact. We survey our attendees or the mentees to see that they're getting value out of it, because it's not just mentoring for mentoring's sake. It's not just having a conversation. You want to have some positive outcomes coming out of it as well.
I saw last year you were talking about the number of hours. I do see you tweet how hours Salesforce have been.
Yes. Well, we set a goal. Talk about measuring, right? So we set a goal for our employees to hit 5 million volunteer hours this year. And we exceeded it. We clocked in at 5.2 million volunteer hours. And again, many of those hours are from mentoring, especially as we shift to this virtual world. Mm-hmm. Mentoring can be done over video, over the phone, from anywhere. You know, I can be mentoring one of the girls from San Francisco or Oakland, in any country, right? And it just opens up so many opportunities. So I love that mentoring, you know, is limitless and it has no boundaries.
Salesforce have been mentoring the girls for the last 4 weeks. We have around over 15 mentors joined the I Am The Code program. And so they are mentoring the Kakuma refugees. Yeah.
We need to get some more. That's only the start. We'll get you more.
We need more. I've been asking for more. I've been telling them, you need to ask
them. We'll talk offline. I'm like, well, how come I don't know about this? We can do more than that.
No, so they've been amazing. They've been mentoring the girls and the boys. Some of our mentees, they're very proud. So we have the sport girls. They've been mentoring. Salesforce mentors are really amazing with the girls. So very, very proud.
I'm really glad to hear that.
We're going to be finishing very soon. I don't want to take too much of your time. Is it anything that every day when you wake up, you do a ritual, something that keeps you strong because you are beautiful, you are strong, and you have a lot of pressure in your work. You know, you are giving to society. Is it anything you can share with the girls that will help them?
I just want all the girls listening to know that I believe in you. I know that not everyone has someone in their life who's rooting for them. So today, let me be that person. And I just want them to know that what they have is to offer is so special because you're the only one who can offer that. And for me, I call that sparkle. And you have to protect your sparkle and not let anyone take it away. So be brave, be you, and let your sparkle shine today.
Wow, that's amazing. So we have 3 bonus questions we ask to our guests all the time. So what is humanity for you?
Oh, wow. For me, I equate humanity with love, really being mindful and loving of every individual life and every human being.
And what is abundance?
Ooh, for me, abundance is a mindset. You may not have a lot, but you know, some people come from scarcity. Some people live in abundance. I live in an abundance mindset, thinking that good will come to me. And really being grateful for all the good that has been already given to me, regardless of my circumstances. Not everything is going to go perfect, but if I have an abundance mindset, then I'm doing okay.
And last question, why do we need to change the world for young girls?
That's a really good question. I think we need to support young girls across the world because they are our future. And we need to give them all the tools and the skills that they need to be successful. We have so much hope and so much writing on this next generation of women. And I'm so proud of the work that they will accomplish. And so we need to, as adults right now, the leaders right now, today, we need to be setting them up for their future success.
Ebony, thank you so much for coming to the I Am The Code podcast. We are so honored to have you. Thank you for everything you're doing for humanity. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
What a wonderful human being Ebony is, and a leader. Her message is heartwarming and unique. So happy to have our girls benefit from her grace and wisdom. You know, one of the things I've learned this week is that no matter where you come from, no matter who you are, how much wealth you have, always stay humble and be grateful. Never take people for granted. The world is a very, very small place. We're all here trying to seek greatness. You have been listening to the I Am The Code podcast. I'm your host, Mariam Jam. Come back soon for another I Am The Code episode. Don't forget, you still have time to reinvent yourself. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook. In the meantime, thank you and goodbye.